The man I'm about to introduce, in many ways, needs no introduction. How many of you have experienced, and I mean experienced, Mohan Babu before? Well, you're about to get a double portion because Ronnie Babu is with him today, his wife. Could you stand up for a second, just so everybody can see this? Ronnie Babu and Mohan. Mohan is an apostle in India. He's a ministry that we support in every way, financially, in prayer, and so on. Mohan oversees close to 1,000 churches at this point. They plant churches in the villages, in the cities. They're all over the place. And this man travels around the world ministering to. He's seen more of the United States than I have, just getting around. He has worked for all of his years on, he does the best Indian accent I've ever heard. He's just perfect at it. But he's a man of intense spiritual authority. And I'm going to share about spiritual authority this summer. But I haven't met too many people that carry spiritual authority like this man does in such a humble package. You'd never know to meet him that the man oversees so much of the work of the kingdom of God in some places where the ministers are in danger of their lives for ministry. We've had some, I don't know how much you're planning on sharing today, but there have been some who have had death threats and even been nearly burned inside of tires. I mean, just terrific, terrifying things that the enemy seeks to do, and yet the kingdom grows and the kingdom keeps expanding, and the joy and the Babu family and all of the churches that I got into, I was there 15 years ago, the joy of the Lord is palpable in every one of those places, no matter what their circumstances is. And Mohan's father founded the ministry. Mohan carries it on right now, and you are in for an incredible impartation. I want to urge you about something. We have a lot of great preaching available to us. You can listen to podcasts. You can get on television. You can some of the best ministries in the world, all the best ministries in the world, have that kind of ministry. You're not just about to receive a message, though. I want to urge you to, for sure, take in the Word of God. Let it become engrafted and transform you from the inside out. But I also, one thing that's a mark of Mohan's churches are that they're eager for impartation. They draw it right out of you. No matter what you carry, they draw it right out. At the end of a children's conference with them, there are over 1,000 some odd kids in this room, and the anointing was so thick. I told them this morning, a donkey could prophesy in that atmosphere. And I saw from the platform with the ministry team, all the kids got baptized in the Spirit. They're seeing angels. It was incredible that night. But I'm telling you that the reason for that was not because the one God sent, is because God could ride on a donkey and prophesy any way he wants, but there's a spirit this man carries, and there's an impartation that we can receive. That means the Spirit of God comes in us as a result of the man's ministry. It's not just the mind and heart that are moved, but an impartation that you walk with, you carry with, and it really not only changes your life, but it makes you powerful and able to do the thing you were transformed for. Does that make sense? All right, so let's bless this man and receive him. I thank you, Father, for the privilege having a man like this in little old Millersburg right here with us. And we pray today that you'd give us hearts and ears and spirits to drink in deep of the anointing of this man of God you've sent our way. We bless Mohan and Ronnie. Thank you for friendship with them and for the impartation we're about to receive. We open ourselves wide. Speak through your servant, but more than that, impart through your servant life and that more abundantly. We thank you for this man today. Amen. Amen. Let's welcome what's his name?
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you are really happy this morning? Yes. Turn to your neighbor and just give them a smile. Good. So I'm so glad to be here this morning. And coming back to your own family, it's always exciting. And also I thank God and thank Pastor Steve and his dear wife Audrey for giving me this opportunity. And also I thank Ken and Shirley for bringing us here, not only just bringing us here, taking care of us while we are here. I always consider them as my Pennsylvanian parents, So, having said that, I'll be getting some inheritance from them also. and also the basement, is there. They have a nice basement. Whenever I come here, I said, this basement belongs to me. See, that's wonderful. Bless their heart. They have a tremendous missionary heart. Though they don't go anywhere, but the missionaries come to them to get rested and blessed through their ministry and hospitality. Bless their hearts. And also, I have my very dear friend, Bruce Tempest, and his dear wife, Gwen. They have come to India. They have a marketplace ministry. They want to bless and the people, and they want to change their lives and their financial things. So they are very much into that. So they might come after a few years to India, but bless you, Bruce and Gwen, for being with us. Since they come to know that I'm here, they said, why don't we come here? I said, oh, this is a family, you can come, no issues at all. So please enjoy your time here talking to these wonderful people. And here is my beloved wife in whom I am well pleased. So she has been a great blessing in my life all these years, 36 years of our married life. So 3 kids, they got married. And my oldest son has got 2 kids. And my daughter has 2. And my last son, youngest, he got married last year. And we are praying for him that he should be fruitful and multiplied. And we want to have a big home contingent, we want to see. And this morning, it's such a joy to be here, as I told you. And also, as Pastor Steve was sharing, now the days in India for ministry is not very open now. And even when I talk to people, I have to be very careful and I have to be cautious. Some of you might be seeing me on Facebook. I never put anything what's happening there, because that might get us into trouble. So we had been to a tribal conference before coming to this place. 2,000 people were there. Me and my wife, we were ministering along with a few other wonderful brothers. And we have seen revival going in the tribal areas, beloved. 35 years back, when they were there, one of my bishop friends was sharing, the men used to have just a piece of cloth to cover themselves, and the women wrap up a towel. That was their lifestyle. So you can see that how man can live almost in a different situation. When the gospel went to them, I can tell you that the gospel has touched them, transformed them inside out. Today, their children are doctors, and they are engineers, and they are highly educated. They are well-dressed, and at the same time, they are so passionate to listen to the word of God. In a hot summer, when I was asked to preach them, it was more than 100, 110 degrees, Fahrenheit. And that time, they were just listening in that hot summer. I was given 2 coolers here and there, and I was sweating in spite of the coolers, but they were just standstill. Then I said, I should take all my church members to this place. They were on-time people. I don't know how. 8:30. He said, 8:30, let everybody should come. 8:30, everybody was present. They don't have washrooms. They don't have all the facilities, but they were there at 8:30. That was the commitment, the transformation, how it comes into the lives of the people, beloved. And we are so blessed. 40 people gave their lives to the Lord, those who have come to the conference, Kingdom of God is expanding. No matter what, I always feel, where there is persecution, that is the real challenge the church to grow. If you want to really put the church to, quiet, the church to be, lukewarm situation, give them all the facilities. Give them a nice AC room. Give them a nice PA system. Give them nice, nice coffee, snacks, everything what they want. give them nice lunch when they come to church. Let me tell you, that's what happens. And we in India, when we worship, we see anybody's coming, breaking the door to attack us. That was the situation. And we always look to God, Lord, this service should be protected by your angels. And always I say, when Constantine, when he took over Christianity, that was the beginning of the end of Christian revival. Now we are feeling that now India is going to see one of the best revivals. Amen. We want to see the church will go 10 times bigger than what it is now. Now I said, I was talking to my people, it's an attitude now. When children of Israelites have seen Goliath, they were fearful. When David came there, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? So we as a church want to challenge the opposition that who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of living God. In the process, we might lose our lives, but it doesn't matter. We can meet in the heaven. That's the deal. If you want to lay your life for Jesus, you are the most powerful man living on the face of the earth. So that's what I always encourage my people, those who are on the field facing this kind of situation, the persecution, beatings, arrests, all those things happen. But it doesn't deter our determination to reach out the unreached, beloved. So we request, why I said this, that you should pray for us. You should pray for us in your daily prayers. As a church, you pray for us because your prayers are so powerful. You can minister to the nation of India by your prayers here. Just keep that prayer with that burden. Lord, our brothers in India, our family in India needs your protection, needs your provision. So please pray for that because that makes a big difference in our lives. So I have come to say that word so that you can keep India priority. I don't say that. Even in Liberia, things are changing differently. And the whole world now, the coming of the Lord is evident. That's why things are taking a fast shape, you know, slipping down in this world. So, but there is a task for us. There is something we as a church have to do something in Hillside, through Hillside, and through Millersburg and in Pennsylvania. How many of you feel that this church is going to be a flagship church for Millersburg in the days to come? Yes. How many of you are ready for revival? Yes. If God comes in, how many of you want to really say, yes, Lord, please come in powerfully. We will hold you. We will take that fire with us. Yes. So, you know, this morning, I want to say that there are three words I want to share with you. One is a moment. In everybody's life, there will be a moment that comes in. When my dad was dying with bad liver, he stood before an idol, standing, pleading for his life, and Jesus spoke to him in audible voice. That was a moment in his life. Because of his sickness, he was pleading for his life. Don't know to whom he should plead. But Jesus, in his grace, in his love, you know, spoke to him in a Hindu temple. And, you know, saved him, healed him and saved him. And that's what, you know, there is a moment. And God prepared him. That was a momentum in his life. And then a Zion Fellowship is now a movement for the glory of God. And likewise, Hillside, there was a moment to start this church. God gave somebody a vision. God gave someone a moment to determine that we should start a body of Christ in Millersburg. For what? To glorify his name. To release his presence to the people outside. When they come inside, let them enjoy the presence. So that's what the Hillside Christian Fellowship. And I told you, I don't know whether you remember or not, I always said, when people come inside, they should be healed even without being prayed for. Amen. Without being prayed for. The demon should run away the moment the demon possessed people come inside the church. Amen. They should not. The demon say, I can't come inside. You go. I leave you from here. That should be the power that moves around this place. We are not, we don't believe in the sanctuaries, but we believe in the body of Christ. When the people of God come, that should be the pattern. When people of Millersburg, when people outside, I want them to come here for a healing service on some day, we don't know, as the Lord leads us, they should come here. When we make an announcement, there is a service going on, they should come running across the Pennsylvania. Across Pennsylvania. I'm not giving you a pep talk, you know. This is not just to make you feel good. This is the responsibility. I'm challenging you by the word of God. They should come and get blessed, get prayed for, and get healed, and go back to their churches. We are not attracting anybody from other churches. We want to seek the lost to come to the church. Amen. Hallelujah. And then that's where this church has got a mandate, beloved. And this church, everyone has a mandate. Because the numbers will bring glory to the pastor, but the body will bring glory to Jesus Christ. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, this is a great challenge, because Pastor Steve said some people have gone to vacation. Thank God they have not gone with rapture, you know. Just vacation is a short time. Rapture is a long time. It's gone. So they will come back. But tell them what I told you this morning, that, you know, there is a season which is coming to this church. There is a revival which is round the corner. Just break one wall, you see the flood coming inside, beloved. One wall, one stroke, the flood coming inside. When I say these words, I hope you are understanding my accent. God has given me a strong Indian accent. That's why I tell people, especially it is difficult to minister in Texas, you know. Texas is a different country in their mind. I tell them, America, I can preach other places, but in Texas, you have a different accent. I need to speak differently. Last time I was preaching in Bastrop, where there were 2,000 people. You know, I was sharing them. This is what, you know, Lord, let me make some sounds, you make sense to them. And then I always say that, you know, one word, you don't take all the words what I preach, you know, maybe you might miss those things, but one word, pick up that word, that belongs to you. You pick up that word. That's what God is speaking to you. I was in Waco, Texas, speaking to in the prison ministry. 300 women were there. I was telling them, you know, I was talking to them about Jacob. I said, you know, God changed the name of Jacob to Israel. Jacob to Israel, Prince with God. And I was talking to them about their lives and all. I asked them, how many of you want to have breakfast with me when you come out of this prison? 90% said, we want to come. That's such a hope to the hopeless, you know. And one lady came to me and said, Pastor, thank you so much for speaking into my life. She was just crying. Many people were in tears, but she came to me and said, God was speaking to me. You know what I said? God has sent me all the way just to speak to you. Because God loves you. My whole tour may be different. There is a second priority, but for God, you are the first priority. She was just crying and said, thank you so much. My name is Susan. Please pray for me. I said, surely, dear sister Susan, we pray for you. Because one word can change our entire attitude, beloved. That makes a big difference. This morning, I was just, I don't know the timing, but I want to be in time. Because Indian pastors, a good Indian preacher preaches for 3 hours. So today I don't want to be a good preacher. I want to be just a normal preacher, like, you know. So maybe I'll take 40 minutes or, Pastor Steve, 30 or 40? Sure, okay. And, you know, what I say normally, let me say, because this is my family, I'm not preaching like a preacher, you know. I'm just sharing my heart. So I was in a Baptist church in England. England, people are already stiff. And more to add to that, icing on the cake, it's a Baptist church. And my pastor friend, he said, you need to preach for 17 minutes. I said, what is the significance in 17 minutes? Is it written in Bible or somewhere? And I said, no. Actually, it is 15 minutes, but 2 minutes to wrap up everything. Then I asked him, if I can preach little more, if I can go the other side with the consent of the people, do you mind for that? He said, oh, if they say yes, I'm very happy for that. So then I said, let me do something for them. I was preaching. Finally, at the 15th minute, I said, let me tell you a wonderful, fascinating story. I said, 1 minute. Then I said, I think time is running out. I will tell you this story next time when I come back. They said, oh. Then I said, if you want me to share this story, with your consent, I can share this story. Would you mind? Oh, we don't mind. Please share the story. Then I shared the story. I preached my message. It went up to 30 minutes. And then the pastor came and said, Pastor Mohan, you are a smart guy. Then I said, I'm not a smart guy. I'm a wise guy. I took opportunity and I preach the word. So the moment, momentum and movement. Three important factors in anybody's life, beloved. In a church life. Moses. I want to talk to you about Moses this morning. If you look at the life of Moses. Moses was with the daughter of Pharaoh. As her son. Enjoying all facilities, got the best of the education. In fact, if things work out, he could have been in the line of next Pharaoh. That was the deal. And also, while he was growing up, his mother used to nurse him, and she has inculcated those godly principles in his life. Today I want to challenge the mothers. When your children, when they are growing up, put God's seed in them. Put God's seed in them. Parents, never speak a negative word about your children. Even unknowingly. I have 3 kids. When God spoke to me, never speak a negative word. And never allow a negative word when others speak about your children also. Not even. So I said, my son John used to come, I used to tell him all the time, you are a good boy. John, you are a good boy. And he used to come to me with a broken toy. He said, Dad, am I still a good boy? Inside, oh, you have done a wrong thing. But outside, yes, John, still you are a good boy. He used to look at me, he used to look at the broken toy, he used to run away to play. So that's where you need to speak the word into their lives. What God has destined and designated into their lives, beloved. The mother, she took the risk of her own life. And she was nursing him and said, your God is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You have covenant with God. We need to encourage our children that they are in the will of God to do greater things, beloved, not smaller things. Moses, he grew up and then he thought, I need to be with my people rather than with the pleasures of the sin in Egypt. He came there and he tried to help somebody. You know the story. I don't want to get into the story. And first time he killed someone. The second time he was questioned, who made you our leader? He was questioned and he was rejected when he wanted to do something. So he ran away for his life. And he was in Midian for 40 years. And he was tending his father-in-law's flock. In those days, the tending of the flock is the least of the job. He has picked up the least of the job. And then he might have thought it is all over with his life. Because for 40 years, God did not speak to him as for the word of God. But God was working in his life, beloved. Sometimes you feel, why God is not speaking to me in this situation? Might not be, you might not have heard what God was speaking to you, but God is at work in your life, beloved. God is at work in your life. And Moses, you know, he was tending his father-in-law's sheep. He thought he was somebody in the beginning. Then he finally said, I'm nobody. I'm nobody. I can't make anything. When he got his son, he named him as Gershom. Gershom means, I'm a stranger in a foreign land. So he's questioning his own identity. He said, I'm gone. I'm done with this life. Many people, they come to a place where it might be all over in my life. It's done deal. I cannot make it big because 40 years are already gone. I've not done anything, just a normal survival life I'm living. But this morning, if there is somebody like that, I want to challenge you and encourage you. God has a plan and a purpose in your life, beloved. God is not yet done with you. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Moses never knew his potential when he was tending his father-in-law's flock. God designated him and destined him to be the leader of one of the largest contingent the world has ever seen. There were so many miracles were waiting in line for Moses to perform. But he was in the wilderness. God was training him. Allow God to train you, beloved. Because sometimes, you know, your syllabus, you know what is syllabus? May be different than others. Every person, their syllabus is unique and customized. Sometimes you may ask, Lord, why my neighbor is really peaceful and happy, why I am struggling? Sometimes this question comes to us. But the Lord says, higher the calling, tougher the training. Because I call you for higher purposes, that's why you are going through this tough training. Moses was being trained by God, you know, very severely. He was there. He lost everything except he's surviving. Because God is a God who hears our heart cries, beloved. When the children of Israelites for 400 years, they were crying unto God because of the oppression. God heard them, their heart cry. And God said, he acknowledged them. He said, now the time has come for deliverance. God is a God of timing, beloved. Wait upon the Lord. There will be a revival which comes to this church. He's a God of timing. He's preparing the hearts of the people and making them ready for one of the biggest harvests in Millersburg. People come running to see, to receive Jesus as a personal Savior and Lord. They come to enjoy the presence of God. And you should be the people to volunteer them, minister to them. Hallelujah. And if you do that, that there will be a wonderful revival which will be like a contagious touching all the region, beloved. And Moses, one day, it so happened in his life, when he was moving in that forest, he saw a bush which was burning but not being consumed. Normally they see a bush being consumed in the fire and down to ashes. That's a normal pattern. But this is a different thing. There is fire in the bush, but it is not consumed to ashes. So let me see this wonderful event. What's happening? God has drawn the attention of Moses, beloved. Now the time has come. Now the time has come, God, to draw your attention to his purposes, beloved. God said, I'm drawing your attention to my purposes so that you can be fitting into my purposes. And he saw what is happening. And today is a day of Pentecost. And this day, the Holy Spirit God has come down to this world. And God said, you know, he sent Holy Spirit God. And you know the whole story. And that particular bush was burning. And I want to challenge you. How many of us like a burning bush going into the streets of Millersburg, into India? Like a burning. If you are a burning bush, you can attract people's attention, beloved. If the fire is burning in you, you can attract the people. You know, one word can make a big difference to the lives of the people. I've seen that happening in my life, through my life. One word. You just speak one word. Make a way to them. People came, they always tell me, Pastor Mohan, the day you said that word, that changed my life. I said, wow, I don't even know that word. But they come and tell me, that day you just taken me, like you said, this is the word, and that changed my life. I said, that is what the power of anointing, beloved. That makes lives changing. I don't know whether I told you this story or not, but let me repeat this, because this is really very close to my heart. One day, I was traveling from Boston to San Jose. And it so happened, I was given the seat right in the middle of a wife and husband. And it doesn't happen normally. It happened. So I thought, I saw this guy, a big guy, a huge guy, like, you know, 6-footer. And his wife is so beautiful. Now, I was in the middle. I said, Lord, I'm in trouble now. What do I do now? So I requested him, Sir, would you mind changing the seats? Because he was at the window side. He said, you know, what was his answer? No, you can sit wherever you can. It is allotted to you. I said, oh Lord, I'm in trouble now. So I sat in between and I didn't say anything for some time. I said, Lord, when I take up this, you know, what you call the belt, it might touch her, he might feel bad. Lord, give me grace to be like a statue, like, you know. For 4 hours, 5 hours, I have to be like this. I said, Lord, I will never speak anything. I'll never talk. I'll just keep like a statue for all this trip. Then the Lord said, speak. Speak. I said, Lord, this is a big trouble now. But this guy looks so big and I'm a tiny guy. What will happen now? So finally, I said, okay, let me share. So I was just talking to her, Sister, because this guy is like a stone. So I talked to her. Somehow, we just got in, why you came all the way from India. I said, Sister, I'm this, that, and all. I shared the gospel while I was talking to her. I spoke my dad's testimony. I said, you know, there is power in the name of Jesus. And it so happened, she said, oh, I know, she said. But this guy, he was just like that. He didn't even turn his face. No smile, nothing. Just a stiff neck. And I said, okay, let him be like that. When we're getting down, I see, he didn't even say hi, bye. I just said, thank you, sister, God bless you. That was over. Then I said, Lord, thank you for the redemption, Lord. I can just breathe now freely. So I came down. After 6 months, I went to Boston to preach in a church. Huge church. People through guards were there. They don't allow people to come and talk to you. You can preach. Get ready for the next service. So I was preaching. I finished my preaching and I was about to go to my room to get ready. And somebody shouted, hey, pastor. Then I said, those people said, no, you can't see the pastor. Then I said, oh, let her come. Let me talk to her, because she was shouting. And she came close and said, pastor, do you recognize me? I said, how can I recognize you? You all look alike. You all look alike. How can I recognize you? You all look alike. I didn't tell her that openly, but inside. Because it doesn't look, good manners to say that word. You know, just I said inside. And then what happened? She said, pastor, last time when we traveled from Boston to San Jose, you are sitting in the middle of the sea, in the seat. How can I forget that? It's my lifetime experience. Then she said, you know, my husband, after listening to your word, he gave his life to the Lord. He gave his life to the Lord. He gave his life to the Lord. And he said, now he's an evangelist. He's preaching the word. But wherever he goes, he will never forget to mention your dad's testimony. It's a powerful testimony. And I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Though it was tough, it became a blessing to somebody, beloved. You are like a burning bush, burning with the passion for Jesus, burning to reach out somebody, to pray for somebody, the fire inside. Lord, I want to see the Millersburg be changed. Yes. Not the numbers coming here. We are least bothered about numbers. We want to see the revival break out in Millersburg. Let every church be filled with the people. It's not our church. Let every church. Let there be greater activity in this place. When we call for a public meeting, let there be 10,000 people coming to worship God. Hallelujah. Is it possible? For God, everything is possible, beloved. If you say yes to Him, because why I'm saying this prophetic word, releasing this word to you, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And, you know, God finishes first and starts second. How many of you know that? The Lamb of God slain when? Even before the foundations of the world. That spiritually, in spirit it happened. Now Jesus came to make it happen in flesh. So it happens already what is going to be in this church. God has a plan and a purpose, beloved. And when God called Moses, he said, Moses, take out your shoe because this is a holy place. Let me challenge you, beloved. When we come to the Lord, our God is a holy God and we should be holy to relate to Him. There cannot be two lives. There cannot be two lives as a Christian. There is only one life, that is to be righteous and holy, to stand before God. There is no secular world in the Bible, only sacred. You take this sacred, your life, into the world outside. That's why God said, Moses, come here and take this presence to the children of Israelites. Because having come here, come close to me, have intimate relationship with me, and this presence, you take it outside. Because you need this presence. You need this anointing to reach out the people outside, to reach out the children of Israelites outside, beloved. And then, God was saying, I am God of your father. What a word, beloved. Young people, let me tell you, God is speaking to us, to you especially. I am God of your father. And your father's God should become your God. You don't come to church because your parents are going. You come to church because he's your God. Hallelujah. When my dad got healed, when I was a young 16-year-old young man, I told God, Lord, thank you so much for healing my father, my dad. I serve you all the days of my life because I'm so grateful to you. Because I have seen my dad dying in front of my eyes. And God came in and touched him. I said, Lord, this is my commitment to you. I want to serve you all the days of my life. Because you are my God also. Not just my dad's God, my God. Young people, you should worship God. He is your God. He wants to identify with you, not only just with your father. And then I'm your father's God. I'm God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. He's a covenantal God, he's a generational God, beloved. Not only just a covenantal God, he's a generational God. Because he is covenanted with us. That's why David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this uncovenanted guy? If he has a problem, nobody will come to his rescue. But we have a problem, our God will come to our rescue. When we say, Dad, he will say, yes, my son, yes, my daughter, what do you want? He will keep his angels to guard you. He will keep his fiery hedge. When you need a provision, he will send it. We have seen that happening when we were not having food. God sent a provision through a raven. A raven dropping down. And I have seen it with my own eyes. The provision of God. My dad said, who said the days of Elijah are over? They are still now. If you need a provision, he can send you to anybody through any type, beloved. Hallelujah. And then he said, you know, you need to lead the people into the promised land. People into the promised land. Pastor Steve, you need to lead the people into their promised land. Because, you know, there is so many promises God has given to them. There might be a nice house, a nice car, a nice elevation. There could be many things, a nice job. And as many mighty men and women will come out of this place. So, you know, God said, take them to the promised land. Then the reaction of Moses, because he was rejected, because he was questioned, he got that hurt in his life for 40 years. You know, what was his reaction? He said, Lord, who am I? Who am I? Moses lost his questioning his identity. He lost his identity. He said, I'm a stranger. Let me tell you this morning, beloved. The devil will always come and question your identity. Always your identity. You are not a capable person. You are not favored by God. You are not in his purposes. You know, because of that's why these things are happening. The lie of the devil. Don't believe the lie of the devil in your lives. Because the devil's job is to create a doubt and make you a doubtful person. That's why I always say, when people come and tell me, I said, I am, you know, I always say that. When I came here, Steve said, oh, the age is stopped for you. Age, you know, I'm looking young. One sister in Corpus Christi, she told me, Pastor Mohan, Pastor Babu, I've seen you 20 years back. Now I'm seeing you, you are one and same. What a testimony. Can I get a compliment better than that? That too by a beautiful, wonderful sister. And then I said, Sister, thank you so much. You know why I look young? I look young because I die for Jesus. I die for Jesus. This morning I died before coming to this place. My wife helped me to die. You need to always, never allow the devil to question your identity. You are washed by the blood of Jesus. You are the son and daughter of the Most High God. And you are highly favored. You are an eyeball. You are an apple of his eye. Somebody is calling. Oh no. Okay. You are an apple of his eye, beloved. That is your identity. That is your identity. And I just want to tell you this morning, never allow the devil to speak to you negatively. Because the rejection, people struggle with the rejection. Rejection will cause you to commit suicide. That's why many people outside, why they commit suicide? Because of rejection. Why they become violent? Violent, that's the word? Violent, because of the rejection. Why they become like that? People, they pretend as if everything is well with them, but it's not. They pretend as if everything is well. They struggle with that inside. God wants Moses to get out of that rejection. Moses, forget about that. Forget about it. I am giving you a greater assignment now. You are not, you are not a just ordinary person. You are a special leader. I have picked up you before the foundations of the world. I have a plan and a purpose in your life. How many of you, feel that way? When I was going to Liberia, Pastor Steve, I was in Liberia. I traveled from Belgium. I got down from my flight, and immediately I saw a BMW car there, and I was about to get into the bus, like everybody goes in the bus. They asked me, "Are you Pastor Babu?" I said, yes, this BMW is for you, sir. I never saw a car coming so close to the flight. And I said, wow, it's a great arrangement, because the bishop was my good friend who is having that big conference. And then while I was getting into the car, I wanted to see the reaction of my co-passengers. Everybody, wow. I said, oh, this is a great man, big man. He never expressed anything while he was in the flight. The car came to receive him. I just felt a little bigger chest. Then got into the VVIP lounge. Then the guy came and said, Pastor Babu, can you give your passport? We want to get it stamped. Never it happened in my life. Every time standing before the immigration officer, and ask some questions and answer and get inside. Stamping. This time, somebody picked my thing and got it. And I wanted to see where he stamped it. But because now I am a VIP, I can't see that. I need to trust them. Trust the people who have done it, so kept it. Then we were in a car to go to the Monrovia, the capital city. There was a car, police car before us moving. And I was sitting in the car behind the police car. And in Liberia, it's almost like India. Brother Bruce, almost like India. It's like left, right, center. You can go anywhere you like. The traffic lights, green, you go. Yellow, you go faster. Red is an option. If you want, you can. Otherwise, stay back. It's up to you. That was the traffic rules. Even in Liberia like that. So I was going through, and this guy was taking left, right, and taking us, and our car is following. Then I could not stop myself asking this question. I told this guy, is this car, police car for us, or just like that? You know what he said? Pastor Babu, that police car is for you. They were piloting you to take you to the hotel. Then I said, now I am a confirmed VIP now. I am a confirmed VIP. VIPs will not ask many questions. Just lay back and enjoy. From that moment onwards, I was quiet, beloved. Then I realized, a bishop friend has made me VIP, but the creator of the universe has made me VIP for a lifetime. We are VIPs for a lifetime, beloved. Very important people for God. The identity issue, beloved. Then comes the momentum. God initiated the momentum in Moses' life. Then comes, you know, what is your name? When people ask your name, what shall I say? Then Lord said, I am who I am. He was giving his name. I am who I am. I want to relate to you, Moses. I want to relate to my people. They might have forgotten, but I have not forgotten them. I want to rescue them. I want to redeem them because I have created them. God has created us to relate, to reflect us, and to rule on his behalf, beloved. The purpose of God creating us to relate to him, to reflect him to people outside, and to rule on his behalf, beloved. That is the purpose. That's why Jesus said, you know, I will build my church against whom the gates of hell shall not overpower. Ecclesia means it's a called out people, you know, with an authority as an assembly to rule over. Now, when Middlesbrough people, when they meet Jesus, you know what they say? Lord, nobody told us about you. They are smart people. Outside people are smart. They say, otherwise we would have accepted you. That is what the responsibility for us, beloved. God said, I will build my church. It's the ecclesia means it's a military base. It's not just, a normal civil word. It's a military word. I'm building a military base where from here I will extend my kingdom. It goes with authority. It will pull down the principalities. It will make its impact on the places. Yes. Now in Millersburg, who is having the authority? Who is sitting on the place of authority? The katizo. The seat of authority. Now I challenge this church. Take that authority. You occupy that seat. How will that happen? That will happen by your prayer and by unity and oneness, beloved. When you all come together, stand with your leader in one accord. No offenses. Your offense, if it causes something to the body of Christ, one day you are answerable to that. Never take an offense. Never take that. And come together in unity. And you from here, you can decree, you declare that Millersburg belongs to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then he said, I am who I am. A purpose in your lives. And then he was telling another important thing, then I can just sum it up, beloved. Then he was telling. He was about to go. God was asking him, what is in your hand, Moses? Because Moses was giving all excuses to go to children of Israelites. What is in your hand? Moses said, I have a rod. You know what is that? What does the rod means? The rod means his past, beloved. For 40 years, he was holding that rod to tend the sheep of his father-in-law. The rod has got limited authority. The rod has got a limited provision. It just helped Moses to survive. It is always a survival, a limited. It limited Moses. Moses was okay with that. It speaks about his past. For 40 years, the way he was lonely, the way he lost his way, the way he was just on his own, struggling in the wilderness. God said, drop it. If you want to have a better future, you drop your past. Whatever is the past, that is gone with Jesus Christ. Drop the past so that you can have a bright future, a glorious future for His glory, beloved. This is what the word I want to share with you. Drop the past. When Moses dropped the rod, what happened? The rod has become a snake. Snake speaks about the past, as I told you. And Moses was scared about the snake. When some people, when you talk to them about their past, they were so scared about their past. Because the past is dominating their present like a snake, beloved. It hisses on them. You can't make it. You are no good. You are a failure. You are limited. Your life doesn't match what you are going to be, what you are dreaming. That's what the past says, beloved. That's why God told Moses, Moses, you are going to be the one of the finest leader, a faithful leader the world can ever see. If you want to be that, you drop your rod. What is bothering you? What is bothering you? Drop it. And you know what he said? When Moses was fleeing, he said, come back. Moses, don't worry. Don't fear, because I am there for you. Don't fear. You can handle the snake. I will handle the snake. You handle the snake from its tail. I will handle the snake from his head. You know? On the cross of Calvary, he trampled the head of the snake. Because he promised one day that I am going to trample your head. I take all the past of you on the cross of Calvary. By shedding my blood. You are righteous, you are holy, you are declared. You don't tell the past. Don't even remember the past. And Moses, you know, he picked up that from the tail. Again, it has become a rod. Then God said, this rod is the rod of your future. This rod is the rod of your authority. This can give way to the people of Israel. The Red Sea can be parted now. There can be miracles, signs and wonders that's going to take place. This rod can take you to Pharaoh. You can enjoy the authority over demonic world with that authority which I am giving to you. You speak word, things will happen. You decree, things will happen. That's what you take the rod and go forth. And Moses picked up that rod, beloved. This morning I want to encourage you. Don't allow your past to dominate your present. Your future will become bleak because you have to drop it, beloved. Don't even touch it, you drop it, beloved. Let me say this word. It can be a glorious future, beloved. And once Moses picked up that rod, having authority, because of things what he has gone, some people have authority. Some people are anointed, but they don't use it. If you don't use it, you lose it. You use it. every day. Use it, then you have it, you release it, beloved. So Moses said, I am not eloquent. He was looking at his own weaknesses. Lord, though I have authority, I cannot speak. I cannot perform. I cannot do. Because he was conscious about himself. I say, when you pray, people be healed. Don't take it as a personal thing. It's God's thing. You pray. Prayer is your job. Healing is his job. Don't try to heal somebody. Just pray for somebody. God will heal them. Now, wonderful testimony, my brother has said. God healed him. Hallelujah. Is anybody, you will fall in love with a postman? Nobody will fall. The people will fall in love with somebody who sends them a love letter. Not that because the postman has brought that love letter. Right? We are like postmen, bringing his word to the church. He is the source. He will give that. Last year I was in Dallas. I was doing ministry. I got a call that there's one sister, she has, her two legs were 90% infected. The next day, doctors are going to amputate her legs. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't have time. Can I pray over telephone? She said, no, pastor, you need to come and pray. She wants that you should come and pray. I said, oh, this is too bad, so let me go. I made my time available, went there. When I saw her, beloved, let me tell you, her condition, it was intimidating to me also. Two legs like this, they were bandaged like this, big, two logs like, and put on the top. And I saw, I went to her and said, dear sister, I can't speak loudly, no yelling, no shouting, only whispering. But God can do wonders even while whispering also, beloved. And then I said, sister, the Lord told me, you know, that you will be all right. You will be healed. The reality, the fact, her legs to be amputated. But the truth is, you will be healed. And then I said, next time when I come, you need to prepare a meal for me. We will have a Thanksgiving meal. Do you hear what I say? I'm hearing. Seeing this side, if I see two legs. I said, no, I don't see that side. I will only see this side. I put that faith in her ear. And I just prayed and left. The next day morning, I got the news. The next day, doctors went to see her what to do to decide. Then the doctor saw that the 90% of the infection is gone. Hallelujah. He touched. It is his job. He touched. 90% is gone. This time when I went with my wife to her, and she said, she cooked a meal for us. She was walking here and there. I said, wow, God, you are a wonderful God. You can do wonders, Lord. I thought, honestly, will it happen or not? But he made it happen. All glory goes to him, beloved. So I want to challenge you. Don't go with our shortcomings. He's bigger than your shortcomings. He's bigger than your weaknesses. He can empower you. You need to say, I'm available, Lord. Don't say that, send somebody. I want to go, Lord. I want to evangelize. If everybody in this church, I'm closing now. If everybody in this church, if you can bring one person by the end of December, let me tell you, the church will be double. Pastor Steve, if anybody wants to pray for somebody, their relatives, let them write a name and put it here. You pray for them. You guys will pray for them. List out the future church who is coming to the church. Pray for them. Next year, it will be doubled, right? The another year, if there are 200 people, next year 400. Another year 800. Another year 1600. Two services, three services. You have to knock out this hall, or you keep this hall and build another big hall. I said this. I was preaching in a barn in Ephrata. I think my dear Shirley and Ken, they both came along with me. I prophesied, this barn is not sufficient for you. You are going to build a bigger church. Few years later, there's a bigger church. Then now, it's even bigger church. Because God is progressive, beloved. I want to challenge you, the way Moses has taken a great step of the momentum, later on it has become a big movement for the exodus of the people, beloved. I want to see people should come out from the bondage and oppression because of this church, beloved. Let it become a greater movement in this area through this church, beloved. I just want to challenge you, if you are that person, because this is the day of Pentecost, the burning bush fire has come to on this day to this world, beloved. Because if you look at, you know, the word Paracletus, it's again a military term. Holy Spirit God is a military term. Comforter means comforte, because that means it is a military term, come and attack. That is the meaning of Holy Spirit God. What we made it just comforter means somebody coming and crying on your, you know, on your lap. He said, oh, it's all right, it's okay, it's okay. He's not like that. He will strengthen you from inside out. And when you go with him with that cry, he said for a while, it's okay, my child, but I will make you stronger to attack, to go and attack that. So that is Holy Spirit God. This is the day of Pentecost. That's why the fire has come down and it stayed in with them even till today, beloved. Today we need even more anointing than that particular day. And God is going to release that anointing upon you. Let us celebrate the day of Pentecost by speaking in tongues, by receiving that anointing, beloved. Because I want to tell you, there was a moment for this church and the momentum is picking up. God is the initiator of the momentum. And now I want this to become a movement, beloved. A moment of activity for the glory of God. Healing should be a daily basis. And you know, miracles is a daily basis. And not one person. Let everybody be in that job. Everybody be in that job. Children. In our place, children we pray for. I have Pastor Steve that day, he came. Children praying for the children. And we see the angelic you know, presence. That should be the activity. When people come here, let them feel that they are visited by the angels, by the presence of God. That is the mark of Hillside Christian Fellowship in this region for the glory of God. Shall we stand in his presence, beloved? Shall we stand in his presence? Thank you, Lord God. Oh, Rabba Labba Shandara Labba Rabba Shia. Hallelujah. When Moses encountered with God, he said, he went to his father-in-law and he said, please let me go. My time has come. My time of spending in the wilderness is over. My time of living in my past is over. My time of living in obscurity is over. Now the time to lead people into their calling. Now lead people into their destiny. Lord, let this word be a challenging word to these dear ones, Lord. I just commit them unto the throne of grace, Lord God. Let there be anointing that comes upon them, each and everyone. Lord, you always fulfill the hungry heart, the passionate heart. When Peter was praying, Lord, Stephen and Philip, they were sucking from Peter. What you have, you can give. What you don't have, you cannot give. But what you want, you can get, beloved. This morning, the Lord is asking you, do you want that anointing? A double portion of anointing. Young people, do you want to move in that passion? Do you want to be like a burning bush moving in the streets of Millersburg? To touch and transform the lives of the people. It's my prayer that even the street corners, let there be a worship. Let there be a healing service. People come and get blessed. And this church has a great calling and anointing. That's why the devil always tries to attack. All that is the mark. Because you, God has made you to be a warrior. The devil knows that. Wants to intimidate. Today is the day of getting out of that situation, beloved. And come into your calling. Come into your anointing. May the Lord release that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just release that anointing upon these dear ones. The anointing that can shake this city, Lord God. That can upside this Millersburg, Lord God. Let there be healings, miracles, signs and wonders for your glory, Master. Explosion, Lord God. This place, this sanctuary will experience the manifest presence of God. When people come inside, even during the time of worship, let there be healings, Lord God. Let there be salvations, Lord. The people can be touched and transformed, Lord God. I just come at this time unto the throne of grace, Lord God. Release your mighty power. Release your anointing. Release your anointing. Receive the anointing, beloved. The presence of God is so evident right now. I could sense the presence of God here. It's coming down like waves right now. Release. Release, release. Just receive it. Just receive it. Ask God, Lord, I want this anointing, Lord. I want this anointing. Without your anointing, I can't go beyond, Lord. Because the anointing will break the yoke of bondage. The anointing will break the yoke of bondage. Every bondage can be broken because of that anointing. Give me that anointing, Lord. I can be victorious. I can go beyond victory, Lord God. Give that anointing, Lord. Hallelujah. Release that anointing. Release that anointing. Oh, Shandara Laba, Shikira Laba, Sikara Laba, Shikara Laba, Sandara Laba, Sandara. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ of Nazareth.